So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher, right here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Thanks for joining us this week, guys. It is September 26th. Tonight on the program, joining us is the King of Old School, Steve Corino. And Les, I know it's been a really, really frustrating week for fans of wrestling and especially,
What do you mean fans of real wrestling?
Yes.
not Jackass 2 wrestling.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But well, I'm going to ask you to try to be upbeat tonight.
There are so few of us. That's true. That's true. If that's what entertains the general public, then probably Osama Den Laden is probably the smartest guy I know.
Yeah, Jackass number two.
He understands that we are weak. We are. Yeah, I mean, seriously, if that's the best you can do for entertainment, then that sucks. And, you know. It's, no, anyway.
So I'm taking you didn't enjoy the pay-per-view
this week. Laxatives and blow-up dolls are not my bag, no.
But it's a sign that Russo is back.
Well, you know, from what I heard about the first taping, that they didn't do any of that ignorant stuff. I don't know, you know, whether who's calling the shots, of course, you know, at what point, I don't know. But, no, the blow-up doll thing, well, the fans chanted, this is stupid. So you tell me.
So there is hope.
Well, I don't know if there's any hope because nobody. You know what? It's like me beating you over the head with a hammer, and you saying you're hitting me over the head with a hammer, but I'm not going to move. Okay, then I'm going to keep hitting you over the head with a hammer.
But you.
So everybody just keeps, you know, hoping for the best in it. Well, you know, that's to me. It's like the gas prices, right? If everyone stopped. Driving for a while, guess what? The gas prices would go way down.
Right.
Because then there would be a, you know, too much oil, and the companies would panic.
That's true.
Right? Okay, thank you.
I wonder if there are any...
But logic is not what this country obviously runs on, or at least if you're a self-proclaimed wrestling fan. I don't know. No, I just think it's childish stupid. You know, it's the whole laxative thing was not. I don't find bad. I'm not into bathroom humor, and I guess Vincent K. Carter. No, I'm sorry. That's the other company. Is into all that stuff, and the blow up doll. All they did was make Loki or Sensei or whatever the hell you want to call him look like a fool. I mean, if he thought that was Chris Sabin laying there, then he's more blind than I am.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you know, and all you said is this is a work. Please don't suspend your disbelief. Larry Curly and Moe will be out briefly.
True.
I mean, it's, you know, and I don't know. I don't care to say it any different. I don't like it. I think it's silly. I don't want to watch it. It's not entertaining. It's not what this business is supposed to be. And, this is a public forum, or I could find some four-letter words that would fit it far better than the multiple syllable words I'm using.
No, I think you're making yourself clear.
Okay. I would hope, you know. It's like I wasn't allowed to miss the first 10 minutes of Raw, and I'm still waiting to find out. I saw the first 10, the second 10, and they're on, and still I'm wondering what it was I wasn't supposed to miss.
Maybe it was the blackout.
No.
Don't miss our blackout.
Okay, well, I don't even think they knew that, although they might have publicized it had they have known it. I just, you know, the whole thing escapes me. Well, it's like I'm glad to see Cade and Murdoch. They're both good kids. You know, I've worked with Murdoch through Harley. He trained at Harley's, and Lance spent a year with me. And they're both good kids, and they work hard. But here's the other part too. You have a roster that's not deep in talent, and so let's take two guys who I think, if Triple H and Michaels aren't over by now, there is no hope for them ever to get over. So let's go out and have them beat three teams,
right?
And kill the three teams off who aren't over.
With no progression to the storyline or anything.
Well, did I use the word stupid? Have I mentioned that word at least 50 times already?
Probably.
We're 5 minutes into the show or something. No, I mean, again, it makes no sense.
I watched that. I was waiting for, you know, a new tag team to come out, or, you know, people were talking about NWO was going to come back. I was waiting for something like that. And who comes out? Caden and Murdoch, and they get beat, and that's it. And I'm like, what? What's the point?
Yeah, and that is it, isn't it? I mean, you can't suspend your disbelief. There's no furthering a storyline. There's no nothing that I'm aware of that and like I say, it's not like, and when I say this, I understand who Triple H is in terms of a talent, and he is a talent. And I understand who Michaels is. I respect his talent highly.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are already over.
Right.
It's not like, gosh, here's two new kids that just came on the block, and we better get them over. If they're not over now, it's too late. They'll never be over.
They were just filling time.
Yeah. Well, and then let's jump back to TNA. Joe steals the belt. Now, I've used this analogy in a lot of my seminars and stuff, and I'll use it here very quickly. You said to me before we went on air, who's big enough to take him, Joe? I said a 5-foot-tall commissioner that's got any guts and actually adheres to the rules. And my analogy is this. You're the winning Super Bowl coach, and I'm the losing Super Bowl coach. And as the commissioner of the NFL is presenting you with, and I'd say Paul Tagliabue, but he's no longer the commissioner of the NFL, and I can't think of the new one's name. Anyway, presenting you with the Super Bowl trophy, I come running into your locker room, knock you on your butt, grab the trophy and say, you've got to play me again if you want this back. And you know what the commissioner says? You're out of here. You no longer are employed in this league. It's that simple.
Right.
There's no sheriff in Tombstone. And then if you tell me Cornette believes that, and he goes out and says, well, you've got to get it from Joe on the first tape or something. No, that's crap, too.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show, and you were like, you know, how can he do that? And I said, well, who's big enough to take it from him? And you told me that. And it took me a minute, but I was like, well, I guess I could threaten to fire him.
Again, I demand logic. And if as a fan or a participant you are that weak and easily sway or easily entertained, then I suggest Saturday morning cartoons.
Nickelodeon.
They're less graphic and violent, and actually it takes very little brain power to get into them.
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something. I'm not looking for Rubik's Cube to entertain me, because that doesn't. I've never been able to conquer it.
It can't be too complicated either.
No, but to me, I outgrew the Three Stooges years ago. And I'm not, again, not, and like the whole laxative thing with Petey Williams, that's just stupid. I mean, it is. Now, the one plus, if they don't screw it up, is they've signed Kurt Angle.
Right.
I can't believe, now, and only his only he and his doctor know for sure what his health, you know, is in terms of 100%, 10%, 51 6/10%, I don't know. You know, but I say this, if everything that was supposedly wrong with him when he was let go at WWE was indeed wrong, then I can't believe he's 100% healthy now. And, of course, from what I hear, he's going to be at ringside at the Bound for Glory pay-per-view as a ringside enforcer or judge or whatever the terminology. But what I'm saying is the video they showed of him in the warehouse in Nashville, I say this, I believe in foreplay. And again, the young guys don't understand that word either. You know, let's get it on and let's get it done quickly and move on to back to the Three Stooges again. Wow, that was good for me. Was it good for you? What? What do we do? Nothing.
Generation bash now.
Huh?
Let's not generation bash, Les.
Well, you know, it's, well, we, I mean, I don't know, just lazy. It's laziness, I think, on, in terms of, you know, please don't make me use my brain, or don't you use yours to make me use mine. No, what I was going to say, you know, is I just think it's gotten kind of crazy. And when it's not, when it doesn't make any sense, I would, with Angle, I would milk it. Okay, he's signed. He's not going anyplace, right? And everyone knows he's been hurt. Everyone knows he's injured. Everyone knows he's been taking painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just pretty much common knowledge, right? Okay, well, then why not show a video each week of him training and coming back and working his way back? And why not build on that? It is, it's real. God, let's don't do anything that actually isn't Alice in Wonderland. You know what I'm saying? It's real. So let's use it. And let's, everybody's, I mean, people are into the American dream, right? The underdog, the Rocky thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Angle, you know, Angle against Joe, Angle against Styles, even Angle against Jarrett has teeth, if it's done properly. But let's give Angle time to heal legitimately. And why not build on it and use it? It's there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then finally he comes back. You know, but you've got something to sink your teeth into and build on. Again, the foreplay.
Right.
You know, the anticipate something. I think I've said this on our show before. An old-time wrestler told me years and years ago, hey, kid, you don't go to a strip club and watch the girls come out naked and put their clothes back on. Right? There's nothing to anticipate.
Right.
So, and, you know, so that's, that, you know, I was always taught in our business that we, you know, build on anticipation. So, you know. Hey, but what do I know?
But, yeah, as everybody knows, you know, Kurt Angle is coming back. But I want to ask you a question about that, Les. Do you think, in my opinion, I was shocked when it happened, but after thinking about it, I think that was kind of low an angle.
Low?
Yeah. It's sort of like, here's what I think about it. It's, Vince McMahon was so worried about Angle and Angle's health and knew he would not quit. So he let him go. He didn't want another, you know, Eddie Guerrero situation on his hands. He didn't want Kurt to be, you know, to injure himself or
right.
to wear himself down. So, I mean, he let him go for his own sake. And
yeah.
then next thing you know, Kurt Angle's saying he's going to be in MMA, and 2 days later he's
signed with TNA. Well, I think
signed
that, with TNA. That was a smart, I mean, now the misdirection there. Even Dave Meltzer said that if you read the current issue of The Observer, it's kind of laughable because they took him on that joke. But see,
yeah.
That's the one thing that this business has been built on consistently over the years that I've been around it, is misdirection, basically, right?
Right.
Taking you left and then going right, or making you think we're going left and go right, or up instead of down, and or, you know, around instead of straight forward.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have that. That doesn't bother me. Yes. Well, I think that's why you had a surprise, because no one really knew, right?
Well, yeah. I'm
and God knows if two internet people had known, then God and all the disciples in the world would have known.
That's true.
You know. So and you know what? That's one of the things that we also talk about in our seminars, is the only thing that you have going for you in the year 2006 is the element of surprise.
Right.
And that's why I thought the Randy Orton, Hulk Hogan, Brooke Hogan thing was so stupid, because you knew 3 weeks before Saturday night main event what was going to happen.
Right.
So if you didn't watch, you
didn't miss anything. Right.
No, you really didn't.
Right.
You know.
But,
and it's
no,
like
it's
like last night, okay, the DX is running the gauntlet. Okay, so they're going to beat three teams. And why do I need to watch that? I mean, you know, and again, this is not a knock on anyone in particular. I don't know who's writing this or who's signing. Well, I guess Vince signs off on all the stuff there. In TNA, I suppose it's Jeff Jarrett, but it's just, I don't know, complacency, laziness, lack of, I don't know that it's so much lack of creativity, it's just lack of using it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not the misdirection that bothered me. I like to be surprised, and it was a good surprise, but what I'm thinking of is, next time Vince is worried about somebody, is he going to do anything about it?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Doc. It really is. I don't know. I would hope so. I would honestly hope so, but, you know, who's to say? I think that, you know, you're right. He, well, again, I don't know that an Angle's competitiveness will continually keep him hurt because he can't wait to go back. I mean, God knows there's a plus about being competitive, you know. I see the value in being competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I place a high, you know, amount of importance on that in terms of being a professional wrestler and not being satisfied, you know, and wanting to always continue to get better. And he is certainly that, but I think then you can take that over the hill and end up, you know, having that backfire on you too. That's why I'm saying.
Right.
I think if I were TNA, I'd say, okay, Kurt, you know, we've signed a deal. Now, from what I understand, it's not exclusive either. He can compete at MMA if he decides to do that in next year. I just would assume that he cannot work for another wrestling company. You and I can't hire him and put him on TV.
I'm just afraid this whole thing could be the beginning of a horrible trend of people who do not want to go through the wellness policy of WWE jumping ship to TNA where they don't have one.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Vince did well. I think Vince did what was right for his company and at the time right for Kurt Angle. Again,
mm-hmm.
like I said, the start of the Angle conversation, only he and his doctor know the extent of his injuries
right.
or what his health, you know, in terms of percentage wise, how close he is to being 100%. You know, we can just speculate.
Right.
I enjoy watching the guy when he's on. He is good.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the best ever? I don't know. That's speculation. That, you know, anyway, but. I do know that, you know, injury, I don't want to see, you know, I'm not interested in sitting here and talking about his, well, Kurt Angle is paralyzed, Kurt Angle is dead, Kurt Angle, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I know Kurt to say hello, Kurt. He's not a personal friend, I don't know him that well, but I don't want to see, you know, I wouldn't want to see him, or him, his family lose him for that matter.
Right.
You know, and I think that, I don't know, but you know, there again, you TNA is, they're looking to move up, right? They're looking for something to hook, and it's there. But if it is there, why rush it and take a chance of maybe it not being long term?
Right.
You know, and it's just it comes down to they're going to have they're going to 9 o'clock in November, and is that great? Only if they know how to use it. I mean, you put me on the greatest, you know, whatever the greatest time period in prime time happens to be, and I don't know what that is exactly, but you can give that to me, but if I don't know what to do with it, then it's not of any value to me. And so if they don't use Angle right, and it comes back to Russo, listen, I don't know Vince Russo. He's not one of my, in terms of creative people in the wrestling business, he's not in my top 5,000. I will say this, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, so he's found God, maybe, you know, he loves his family, and will he come back and have midgets winning the world title and, you know, and that sort of nonsense like, you know, he did with Medusa being the cruiserweight champion at WCW and her wrestling Oklahoma for that title. And
yeah.
Is that absurd? Yes. Is that insulting to the people who have actually worked before him in this business? It certainly is. Do I condone that? I absolutely do not. I think he's done more to wreck the product in those terms than anybody I know in the last 10 years. But this is a new era. You know, we'll wait and see. Now, if the whole could I figure out a way to get take Black or Jackass 2's money and make the show and do product placement without turning my wrestlers into blithering idiots? Yes, I could. And he could probably, too, and there's probably 10 other guys in that company that could. It's not that hard.
Right.
You know? But, again, who is he? Where is the alternative? When you talk to fans or I talk to fans or anybody in the chat room or listening to us talks to fans, they say when they find something negative about WWE, what is it usually? Not enough wrestling. It's not. I don't like the product anymore. There's not enough wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Or wrestling, or whatever you want to call it, okay? So why would you not give them people some good, solid wrestling and some good, solid storylines opposed to being a bad copy of the product that you're supposed to be an alternative to? I mean, again, I think Eric Young is funny.
Right.
And but see, the other part of my funny is too. Colt Cabana's funny, but I don't want him being funny between the bells. He can be funny before the match starts. He can be funny after the match is over. Booker T, that whole over the top king thing. But once the bell rings, he don't even have an accent, or and he's not wearing the crown. He's not asking you to genuflect. He's beating your ass.
Right.
And but see, to me, this little things. You know what? The first thing I thought about last night when that foursome, including Charmel, came out. Gosh, they must have looked funny when they stopped the restaurant on the way to the building, all dressed in their wrestling gear and crowns and evening gowns. Yeah. And when I say that, since they don't wrestle on Raw, why were they dressed to wrestle?
And Hello? It just shows that they were going to.
Were they going to? Why were they going to? Did anyone say they were going to?
No.
Okay. Then why would they be dressed to wrestle?
Well.
That's like when I see Randy Savage go on the Jay Leno show in costume, or Hogan. I mean, that's like the guy, whoever's playing the current Batman. Does he, hey, here's Doc Young, the latest, star latest Batman movie. Now, if you come out in Batman costume, I'm going to look, hello? But you don't, do you?
No, it's silly.
You come out in street clothes. You actually own real clothes.
Right.
See, and that's when they say, when they see, WCW used to do it. Randy Savage coming to the arena in his ring gear. Does that look kind of funny walking down the main street of whatever city, USA? I think so.
Now I don't know Randy Savage, but isn't it true that he does wear that street clothes?
I've seen him without it.
Okay.
I don't think so. That's my point too. Finlay and Regal were dressed and Booker were dressed in their wrestling gear, and Charmel had her evening gown on. And I thought, wow, I bet they look funny when they got out to the gas station to use the restroom on their way to the arena.
And they went to eat at Denny's, and everybody thought they were just coming from a prom.
But, I mean, the point is, if they're actually doing a run-in, if they're actually interfering there, then they wouldn't be dressed to wrestle now, would they?
Right.
You know? I mean, it's like, I don't know, an example. Let's say, and of course, this normally wouldn't happen, but I was using the NFL for examples of different things. You and John Madden are in the booth, and it's the Patriots against the Bengals. Let's see, that's the game here in Cincinnati next Sunday. Somebody from the Seahawks comes into the booth to be interviewed, and we put a camera on. Then he's going to have his Seahawks uniform on?
No.
I don't think so either. Again, I don't know how many people think about this in the same terms I do, but I think those particular little things register negatively in your subconscious.
And especially for...
They keep you from buying in.
Right.
You know, you don't... I mean, I'm sure that even the smartest of the smarks don't necessarily look at it the way I do. But it does, to some degree, in some way, keep them from buying in.
To a casual fan, I agree. But I think, like, a fan of Randy Savage... you love Randy Savage. You do kind of want to see him come out on the Tonight Show in his costume. But everybody else who doesn't know Randy Savage and could potentially watch, the whole point of having Randy Savage on the Tonight Show is to, put your name out there, get publicity, and maybe somebody will watch it that don't watch it. But those people are just going to be like, who's this idiot? Why is he dressed like that?
Right. I think so.
Yeah.
I do think so. Well, it's like... LeBron James going, hey, Jay Leno, we've got LeBron James for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and here he comes out in his basketball silks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Why? to me, again, you came out of the womb, and somebody told you before you ever saw a professional wrestling match, it's lowbrow comedy, it's camp, it's burlesque, it's vaudeville, it's... whatever the terminology was, right?
Yeah.
And as part of that industry, it's up to me to change your point of view and add some legitimacy. And if I want you to buy in, opposed to, yes, we are idiots. Yes, it is lowbrow comedy. It is slapstick. And I think that's, I mean, I don't know who to blame. You know, it's just the general consensus now of, you know, of the business.
Well, for kids that are, let's say a teenager right now who's been watching, maybe they were really little kids during the Monday Night Wars. As far as they know, wrestling's always been like this.
Well, that's true. That's true. And but then the ratings, you know, and here's the story you read every place too, right? The domestic market is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's weak.
Yeah.
And so that's why there's more tours of Italy or Europe or England or Japan or Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Because the market here, they're burning out. They beat it over the head and weakened it. You know, it comes back to what we were talking about a week or so ago. Dwayne Johnson, Stacy Keibler, and Chris Jericho have done remarkably well as goodwill ambassadors for this industry. You know, they come across professional, articulate, you know, the whole nine yards. And they would, you know, if you had never seen the product, you might say, well, I'll give it a shot. But then once you saw the product, you'd say, ah, forget it.
Right.
Because, and when I say this, you know what? It's not really that. It frustrates me. I don't really hate anybody. I don't want to shoot anybody. I don't want to assassinate anybody. I don't want to hit it. It saddens me. It saddens me because I think it weakens the foundation of the industry straight across the board. And also the trickle-down effect is that the idiots at the independent level aren't smart enough to understand that they still are supposed to be learning the basics at that level instead of trying to emulate the idiots at the top.
Right.
You know?
And I think this might have probably been Vince's plan all along, or at least pretty early in it, to change wrestling from what it used to be into sort of his own entertainment kind of playground.
Well, you know what? When you've basically got the only game in town, and you couldn't spend every dollar you have if you lived another 60 years, then it really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, if that's the way you want to look at it.
No.
See,
and
now, when I say this, myself, on the other hand, it comes back to what I just said to you earlier. I always came up in this business thinking that I was supposed to change your opinion and supposed to give the business some, when I say sophistication, believe me, you're never going to sophisticate professional wrestling. But I prefer to show you Benoit an angle opposed to Sensei and a blow-up doll.
Right.
Right? I have no use for that, which doesn't mean that Loki is a bad kid or hates his mother or anything else. He's doing what some other fool was told him.
Right.
Who didn't want to think. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know.
You just want to, you need to, I'm going to buy you those stress balls. You know, you roll them around in your hand and it relieves it relieves stress. I'm going to get you something like that.
You know what?
But I understand, no. I mean,
guys from your generation and growing, I shouldn't say just guys, ladies too, if they've listened to the show. Or watch wrestling, you know, just don't understand.
Yeah, it does.
Until you've spent the lion's share of your adult life trying to promote your business and add some respect and credibility to it, then maybe you don't understand why it's, you know, why
yeah.
I feel this way.
I completely understand why you're frustrated, my friend.
You know, it's, and again, I see the value of signing Kurt Angle. I just hope they understand, they know what to do with him. I think that Cornette was on the first taping last night in Orlando, which means that he hasn't punched Russo's lights out at this point
right.
in time, which doesn't mean at that point. I mean, yeah, and there's another thing that drives me nuts, too. Here's one of the most creative minds that's still walking and talking and breathing in his business, Jim Cornette.
Right.
Is he a personal friend? Yes, he is. But if he were not a great... I have a lot of personal friends that I would not tell you are great, have great creative minds for the wrestling business.
Like
but
me.
He does. And he's already on your payroll. So let's bring in this some other guy who thinks we should be the Three Stooges. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Again. You know? I can't fathom the logic. Well, there isn't any, I don't think. But a part of it's politics, as I know, and God knows the cronyism, the nepotism, the politics in our business is. And this didn't just happen this month or last week or in the last 20 years. You know, that's gone on for you know, since I've been around. You know, and it's hurt people's business at varying levels and different degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I'm sure it also hurts the insurance business, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, okay, I'm going to hire my mongoloid idiot brother to be the vice president of my corporation.
Right.
Just because mom would be mad if I don't. Sort of thing. But anyway, that's, you know.
It's just bad news all around.
I mean, it, you know, but I mean, this, the whole, you know, I've read about the tapings in Orlando Monday, and other than the fact that they kept, someone kept coming out to help Jarrett take the belt from Joe, and then they turned on Jarrett and gave it back to Joe, which I think is kind of set a tone as well, that I wouldn't do normally, is, you know, the first taping didn't seem to have the Jackass 2 fingerprints all over it.
No, it didn't.
You know?
Which...
And when I was, after the pay-per-view, I was thought, oh, my God, what's the television? What's it going to be like?
Right,
know?
Right.
So I don't know.
Maybe the, you know, maybe the chance at the TNA pay-per-view worked, and they're going to stay away from
it. Well,
like
I say, you know, you can't, I'll, you know, I'll give them a month or 6 weeks or whatever it is, and see if Russo does the stuff that Russo did in WCW, or the, or having midgets masturbating in trash cans as he did in TNA 4 years ago, or having guys called the Johnsons, who were basically large penises with prophylactics pulled over their heads.
Oh my God!
I mean, that's what they were.
That's true.
You know, I mean, what else would I say? You know, do I think it's funny? I think it's ridiculous. Again, I outgrew the Three Stooges, you know, 40-some years ago, or 50 years. I don't know what it was. But anyway, you know, I don't see the logic in that. And you know, it comes back, we were talking about how people were upset that JR actually told the truth about, you know, the TNA booking.
Yeah.
And, and the thing of it is, I'm not on anybody's payroll, and I'm in total agreement with JR. I want to see them succeed. I have friends that work there, and it's just... For the industry as a whole,
I wish JR was part of creative.
Well, you know what? It would be far better off if and I've said this before. If I were given complete control of TNA or complete control of WWE, and I were going to have more than one person do my writing, I would try to see if I couldn't get Cornette and Heyman to sit down and coexist long enough to do that. Because I think those are two of the sharpest minds in the business.
Just throw them two in a room together and don't let them out until they can get along.
Well, just, you know, I mean, I honestly think, you know, it's, I don't know, I shouldn't say it isn't personal. It probably is. But I think, you know what, during the War of Atlanta, Leo Garibaldi, who to me was one of the greatest bookers that I ever worked for, he and Bill Watts. Well, Watts was part, had a piece of the action there, and was in the office as well. Now they did not coexist well because they didn't always agree. But you know what? I was with the NWA and during that war, opposed to the Gunkel faction, and we were talking about this in Oklahoma back a year ago in October, and Bill said something about, you know, having to let Leo go. But I said, you know what, Bill? I said, we had some of the great finishes, and because they were both working so hard to outdo each other, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Picasso and Rembrandt having a contest who's the best painter, right?
Yeah.
It makes you arise to the occasion. And I think I think if there's somebody actually challenging Vince at this point, he would go, you know, go in another direction. But there isn't anybody. So, one of the TNA wrestlers who I don't think actually read what JR wrote, but was told by somebody on an interview, said, well, you see, they know we're breathing down their neck. And I thought, somebody needs to drug test him. Nobody's breathing down anybody's neck.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that were the case. And then it would be, because we saw a lot of good wrestling during the Monday Night Wars. We had to.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there was some, you know, I mean, nothing's perfect, so,
right.
You know, but I just think, yeah, I think the business is in a creative low, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better anytime soon.
Say, during the Monday Night Wars, everybody stepped it up so much, but when it was over, they didn't scale back again.
Well, you know, again, going back to how I teach this business, you know, it's something because I'm a basketball fan and a Boston Celtics fan, I call the Larry Bird syndrome, is that there's 3 seconds on the clock and you're down by a point.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else in the team says, God, I don't want the ball. And Bird says, please give me the ball. I'm stepping up.
Right.
I'm going to the next level. I'm going to win this game. Or if anyone doesn't follow basketball, when the NBA, during the All-Star game break, when they had their first ever three-point contest for the players, Bird walked into the locker room and said, who's shooting for second in the three-pointer tonight? That's how confident he was in that he was going out there and win it, you know?
Yeah.
To me, it was like if I happened to be in the semifinal match under Harley when he was defending the title, or Dory or Terry or Briscoe or anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I tried to step my game. I wanted them to have to go out there and work, right? I wanted to prove that that was my spot and I deserved it. That's where I belonged, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't know any other attitude, and it distresses me when I, you know, when I see the a lack of that.
Yeah.
You know?
It sort of seems like they're complacent.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
But we'll move on from Russo and Angle, get into some other news
now. My friends in the chat room are probably thinking, oh, my God, he's off and running.
Well, a lot of people are saying go less in there, actually, so.
Well, you know what? Then there's hope. There's hope for you young guys.
If there is hope.
It's just, and of course, I guess, you know, it's like we all drive cars that were powered by rubber bands if there weren't any other kind of cars. You know,
mm-hmm.
Which doesn't mean we'd like it. It's just would be what we're stuck with, and that's sadly enough, you're stuck with the products could be so much better because there's good talent. It's just it's not being utilized.
And if that was the attitude, then we'd never have this computer.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And we'll just stick to writing on paper instead.
Speaking of, we were off. I kept trying to get on our site and the voice of wrestling site. And
we were down for a few days last
week. I thought, God, you know, as technology gets higher, there's bigger glitches.
Yeah, there's more to mess up.
Yeah, my father said years and years ago to me, cars didn't always come from standard equipment, power brakes and power steering and a lot of things like that. And I said to my dad one time, well, why don't you get more extras? And he just looked at me and he said, you know what? The more gadgets you get, the more there is to break down.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes, with our computers or cars, I think, gosh, my dad sure was right, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yes.
In ECW news, Balls Mahoney tested positive for Demerol, which is a painkiller. He was given a 30-day suspension from WWE. It's part of the new wellness policy. And
yeah. Well, obviously, he did not have a script for it.
Right.
I would assume.
So he's... Well, under the new rules, he's most likely going to sit on TV and just take a 30-day pay cut.
Well, see that, and you know what? I pound on wrestling because it's a wrestling show, and I'm in the wrestling business. But here in Cincinnati, Odell Thurman, who had a four-game suspension, who last year as a rookie led the Bengals defense in tackles, and was suspended the first four games this year. Due to drug testing positive for something. Now I don't know what it was, not necessarily steroid. I don't know what it was. Anyway, he's not back playing yet. And Chris Henry, the wide receiver, who's very important to the team, who'd had some run-ins with the law in the off season. Well, Sunday night, Monday morning, they were stopped at a DUI checkpoint set up by the Cincinnati Police and the State Highway Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Thurman was driving and blew a 1.8, which is like double the legal limits, and proceeded to tell the police that, well, because I drank less than the other two guys, and Chris Henry was in the car, and he threw up on the side of the car, and I think Thurman probably should be, well, they're going to their fourth game, so by rights he should be able to come back after this game coming up, and I think that Marvin Lewis is going to suspend him for the rest of the year.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. First of all, whether it's Balls Mahoney or Odell Thurman or Chris Henry or Peyton Manning, my point is when you're doing something that you enjoy, you're paid very well to do it, and you can't make that kind of money anywhere else, why would you put yourself in this situation? Why would you roll the dice like that? See, I don't understand. And when I say that, I'm not a choir boy and never was, right? I won't tell you that you got to realize I was a young man through the 60s and 70s. So, you know, I probably experimented and done a few things and stayed out after curfew and what have you,
right.
You know. But, I mean, I never flaunted it, right? And I always knew that when I was out in public, especially if someone said, oh, hey, I've seen you on TV, then I knew not only was I representing myself, but the company I worked for, the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that if we went to, you know, with positive or negative publicity in the papers the next day, I may not have a job.
Right.
You know? So I just don't understand that.
I think I was 24 or something, and I got a DUI. I think I blew a .11 when I was working at a radio station in town. I got arrested in the same town. They probably had to read my name over the radio.
Yeah.
And I almost got fired.
Well,
they gave me a long talking to, and I'll tell you what, I never did it again.
Well, I'm sure you didn't. I'm sure you didn't.
But yeah, it's the same kind of thing, you know. But you know, it goes back to with the wrestlers and the painkillers. It goes back to addiction and what that's like, and nobody plans to be addicted, and nobody you know wants to be addicted, but it's just something that happens, especially a lot to wrestlers, because they're in pain, so they'll start to take painkillers, and it makes it go away.
Well, and you know, here's the thing, and this has been going on. Like I say, I'm into my 47th year in this industry,
mm-hmm.
and it's as far as I know, it's been happening for 47 years plus. And that is that they're, you know, unlike we're talking about the guys here with the Bengals, they have contracts. They are they're specialists, and their business is real. So you have to be good at what you do to have the job to start with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's less politics and less chance to manipulate people than there is in our industry, right? But it's always the guy's afraid of losing his spot. So I know I need to take time off, but instead of taking time off, I'll take some pills and work through it, right?
Right.
I've done that to a point. But you can call me a wuss. You can tell me I'm stupid. You can say whatever you like. But I knew that there were times that I had promoters say, you know, you got to go, and I say, man, I can't. You know, because I was as dumb as I may be in a lot of ways. I was smart enough to realize that, you know, it's the only body that God gave me. It was when it petered out. That was it.
Right.
So at some point you got to say no. Mm-hmm. At some point you got to say okay. I need to back off. But now with Balls, with John, I don't know if that's, you know, what the deal is. But, yeah, a lot of guys, you know, mask the pain to keep going.
Yeah, because they're afraid they'll lose their spot.
Sure.
I mean, it's not a black and white issue. There's so many different shades of gray.
Well, sure.
With
you
each
know,
situation, too.
Well, if I and I don't know, you know, after 46 years what the clear-cut answer to that is, because I don't know that there is one. It would be nice to say, you know, you probably, you know, because that's the other thing, too. The complexion of our business changes. I have myself done what I'm about to talk about, and I've seen others do it over the years. It's like you made arrangements back in the day to go to another territory, right? Like, let's say, for example, I had run my string, and, you know, I'd been in Charlotte a year and a half, and I pretty much, you know, I needed a break. They needed a break from me. Or they'd done with me what they could. I needed to get out and get a rest so I could come back again. And so I call around, and then the territory says, oh, yeah, we need a new top baby face. We need another baby face to work in the top tier, the middle tier, or whatever, and here's what we're going to do. Now, you got to realize back then there were no contracts, right? It was all word of mouth. You know, and we'll guarantee you this amount, or we'll be sure that you do this amount, or, you know, weekly or monthly, or by the match, whatever the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, by the time you give your notice in the Charlotte territory and you pack up and get to the other territory, well, something's happened. The top heel's gotten hurt, and they've had to change directions. They fired the old booker that you were going to work for, and they hired a new booker who's going in another direction, who has other people. He's more reliant on Doc Young than he is on Les Thatcher. But you're still there, right?
Right.
And you're not going to get the deal that, it's not that they're going to starve you out necessarily, right? But you're not going to get the deal that you talked about when you went in.
Mm-hmm.
So with contracts in this day and age, what I'm taking a long road around to get to is that at least I say, okay, Doc, you're hurt, and you've been working my middle tier on Raw. Okay? So, and I know you have to take some time out. So when you come back, I will assure you that we'll work you into the middle tier again. We obviously can't put your storyline on the side and wait to do it again, right?
Right.
Because I know when I had hepatitis back in 1972, they were preparing to do something. We were just in the start of an angle, and that angle died. And when I came back 7 weeks later, there was no angle for me at that point. But Jim Crockett Sr. did see to it that I worked the big shows and got back on my feet because I had been that amount of time without the normal income that I was accustomed to.
Yeah.
So he was there was a guy that I always admired, was a class act, with Jim Crockett Sr. In fact, during that time, I had, you know, there was no insurance or anything, but he sent money to my home every week, and then he would call, and how are you doing, and I'm doing fine, Jim, and I'm trying to come back as soon. No, don't rush. Do you need anything? Do you need a car payment? Do you need, now I got the money. No, that's for groceries. The money I sent over is just for your essentials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need a car payment? Do you need rent payment? No. Well, I was lucky enough that I had money put back, right?
So, yeah.
But he realized too, and saw to it that I, even though I wasn't back in my same slot and working a program when I came back, that I was put on the cards that we're going to draw, and then that I went back to making money where I was at. So that's all I'm saying, you know, is these guys who they're popping, who are on pain pills or whatever, maybe they wouldn't if they knew that the job, at least at the same level, was going to be there when they came back.
Absolutely.
You know?
Speaking of, you know, breaking the rules and fighting your own demons, just a little quick update on Joey Mercury. He's still in rehab in Atlanta right now. And he's expected to have a job back with WWE when he gets out. So this is sort of the situation that we're talking about.
I hope, yeah, Joey. And Joey's a good kid. He really is a good worker. When I say no reflection on Johnny Nitro or Melina, but he carried the team. He was the better worker by far, and he made the team click. And whether I don't even know why, what he's rehabbing for, or what the whole deal is, whether it was something to do with injuries or just, you know, recreational, I have no earthly idea. But he's, you know, I don't know him that well, but I like the kid, what I do know of him, and he's certainly a very good talent, so I'm tickled to death that he's, you know, that he's, hopefully he's doing better and hopefully he's back soon.
Yeah, and definitely not to take anything away from Nitro. He really improved in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Under Joey, actually.
Yeah.
He probably learned a lot from him.
Well, I tell you what, when I watched the, what did they call it, the six-pack challenge?
Yes.
That was not a good match.
No.
That was the blind leading the blind, but I mean, it did. But see, then again, it showed you that none of those guys are particularly leaders, and the reason for that is most of them are still learning.
Mm-hmm.
This is a business where I was always told, and I think it still holds true, where you're a rookie 4 or 5 years in.
Yeah,
you know, you still. There's that odd guy who is capable of picking it up a little faster than somebody else, but for the norm, you know, even. I think of that whole group, Orton probably was the best hand and still couldn't organize those guys and get them together, you know,
mm-hmm.
and make that match click the way you would have wanted it to.
And even after you get your 4 or 5 years in, you're not a rookie anymore, but that doesn't mean you're great either.
Well, yeah, that's right. You can take two shortstops in the National League that have both played 10 years, but that doesn't mean they're equal in terms of talent because,
right.
you know, you have your God-given talent in you, and you can advance that only to a certain level, you know, depending on your work ethic, depending on what's there to develop.
Mm-hmm, your potential.
You know, yeah, well, that was something I had a discussion a year or so ago with some people in an interview. They were saying, well, you know, OVW may not be as good as they think. I said, what are you talking about? Jimmy and Danny know what they're doing. Well, you know, some guys go there and they don't get any better. I said, and what's your point? I said, that's how many college football players are drafted that you never hear from again.
Right.
In the NFL. Why? Because their level, their height, as far as their talent, was college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't make that next step. So you see, and I've had that in my camp. I've seen guys who came in and started to learn quickly, and I thought, God, this guy's going to be good. And they didn't end up being that good.
Yeah.
You know, because they did learn quickly, but they didn't have a low ceiling on their talent. And other guys who took longer to learn who ended up being. You know, well, I'll tell you right now, Chet the Jet, who's the OVW champion, I mean, he wasn't like he was a slow learner necessarily, but he didn't mature as quickly as a lot of the other guys who had started with him when we had the WWE contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't, I didn't utilize him as well, but he and I had this conversation several months back, and he knows why now. You know, he said, you knew I wasn't ready. And I said, yeah, I did. You know, but then he got the shot over in Puerto Rico, which matured him and made it so. And now he's pulling his weight down in OVW as a champion. I'm tickled to death for him. I hope he gets to move up.
Yeah. More ECW news, just incredible. He's not suspended by WWE, but they're not using him right now. As of right now, he's sitting at home getting paid. The feeling within WWE by reports is that he was pulled from the road and will stay off TV until they plan to reintroduce him with a new direction to his character. His work with CM Punk in ECW was openly praised by McMahon, so he's not really considered to be in a bad spot right now.
Well, I like PJ. He spent some time with me. On my roster, I like him and he's a good worker. I don't know what the problem is, but I don't know if it's family, personal, whatever. But I hope it works itself out and he gets back in harness. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Big news came out today. I don't even know if you knew about this or not, but Rikishi was arrested yesterday.
Yeah, I did see some, but I never figured out what. I mean, like, why?
The details are kind of sketchy, but I guess yesterday he was arrested by the U.S. Marshals Task Force in Pensacola. He supposedly was taken into custody without resistance. They said he was real gentlemanly-like. But I guess what had happened was...
Yeah, I heard all that, but then I never got to, like, he was arrested for double parking or...
Yeah.
You know, it never came down to that.
I guess what had happened was he had a court date on September 1st. Which he failed to show for.
Oh.
Not sure what it was for. Something about a charge of civil contempt.
Okay.
He missed that show. And I don't even think ever got the subpoena for it because he was in Italy at the time, and they couldn't find him. But they issued an arrest warrant and finally found him yesterday and took him in. He's in the local county jail right now waiting for a new hearing.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, that's Umaga's brother.
Right.
Yeah. And so civil contempt, whatever that happens to be. I'm not sure what that charge is exactly.
That could be spitting on the sidewalk for all I know.
I guess. I didn't know either, and that wasn't clear where I had read it. I read a couple times and I'm thinking, okay, but why is he arrested? I mean,
right.
What's he done to be arrested? But I guess not appearing for court.
Right. So we'll have more information on what he was supposed to be in court for in the first place as soon as we get it. Of course, check out WrestlingWeekly.com every day, and we have all the latest news up there. Next off.
Okay.
I guess you would call it the free dark match we got last night on Raw.
The free dark match.
Yeah. It was the first time they televised a dark match.
Oh, okay.
But
you're talking about the lights being out.
Yes.
Yeah, but I guess something to do with the pyros setting off the fire sensors, which killed the lights or something.
Yeah, it looked a little. The pyros when they went off, they looked a little bright to me. But PWInsider.com is reporting that the heat sensors inside the building is what triggered the outage. I guess how it goes is the heat sensors trigger the fire alarms when it gets above a specific temperature in the building.
Right.
The shore power is hooked into the fire alarm, and it cuts as soon as the alarm sounds. So when the pyros went off, it set off the alarms, the fire alarms, causing the power to go out in the arena, which was kind of, I don't know, it's just odd the way it's all,
yeah.
The way it's
and,
set
and
up.
And apparently the spotlights and that stuff was hooked into another system.
Right.
That didn't shut. Well, you know what? Here's something to say. You know, we talk about the negative things. Here's something positive to say about that particular production crew under fire, and they didn't panic, and they got the job done anyway. You know, I mean, I mean, they had no control over what went on in the house, and, you know, everybody could have thrown their hands up in the air and ran for their lives.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and they didn't, and they held up under, they worked under pressure and moved on and got it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it wasn't pretty.
but it worked, and it's possibly why whatever was supposed to happen in the first 10 minutes didn't happen.
Yeah. Maybe. I know they kept saying, don't miss the first 10 minutes or all.
Right.
And I thought, oh, my God, I can't afford to miss the first 10 minutes.
And nothing happened.
And nothing, I mean, you're right, absolutely not a damn thing that I hadn't seen happen before anyway.
Right. I mean, even the power outage we've seen before.
Yeah.
Beware of dog pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Except they did that whole pay-per-view in the dark. But on Wednesday, WWE officially announced the Boogeyman was gone from the company.
Well, that's it. I'll never watch wrestling again.
I'm going to miss the Boogeyman.
You would. You would. See, no, I mean, and when I say that, Marty, whatever his name is, I don't know him. It's not a personal issue. I just hated the gimmick.
Right.
And the value. I mean, where could you go with it, honestly?
Nowhere.
No, you're right.
It was a one-note joke.
It was a one-trick pony, right?
Yes. That's a better way of putting it. But I guess the reports are that management was unhappy with his commitment to return to the ring. He was, of course, off TV since April, rehabbing some injuries. The general feeling that's being reported is that he was doing the bare minimum to get back into shape. He missed a lot of doctor's appointments, things like that. And supposedly he was warned.
Well, see, I mean, I can understand. Now, I totally understand that, you know, because if you're not trying, then why are we continuing to carry you?
Right.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. If somebody's dogging it or gold-bricking it or whatever you want to call it, you know, just to collect a paycheck at home, I see their point completely.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do.
JBL worked out a deal last week with WWE to remain with the company in his role as commentator on SmackDown. This is the cool part. JBL had given notice earlier, and No Mercy pay-per-view on October 8th was supposed to be his final appearance.
Right, yeah.
However, they felt, WWE felt that no one else was really ready to take over and call SmackDown, and JBL had some logistics that he needed worked out in order to stay. Now, according to the Pro Wrestling Torch, JBL wanted to leave WWE because he had been taking on some demands with the projects and stuff. He's working in New York.
Working with the stock market stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, stuff like that. But one of his primary concerns was travel time, getting from the SmackDown tapings every Tuesday and back to New York on Wednesday. So WWE set up a concession where JBL could actually use Vince McMahon's personal corporate jet after the SmackDown tapings so he could fly right home on Wednesday, so
see, that's what
right
I'm
home
talking
Tuesday
about.
Nights. That's cool. That is cool.
Well, see, you know, and there again, it says something too. If they think you're important to the project, then they'll do what it takes. You know, within reason, obviously, to keep you.
And
right,
and definitely, they think he's important.
Obviously, yes.
But so JBL's staying, and he'll be flying once a week in Vince McMahon's personal jet. I'm sure it still has the DX logo on the side and everything, so look for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Pro Wrestling Torch is reporting that although original reports stated that Randy Orton was issued a suspension where he wouldn't appear at Raw house shows a while ago, he was overheard telling people, according to reports, that he asked for the dates off from house shows so he could spend time moving into a new house. Whether... You know, rumors, or maybe he did say that, but I don't know. But that's what's being reported, that he was overheard saying that. So, you know, you got to keep the rumor mill going on this show, at least.
Well, yeah, whatever. You know, well that's there. Why would there be websites, and why would there be an internet if there weren't rumors?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what fuels the beast, right?
Right. In TNA news, negotiations between TNA and Monty Brown are ongoing still. Sources close to Brown have said that things could be turning for the better, and Brown could end up staying with TNA after all. Nothing's confirmed yet. Jake the Snake Roberts isn't expected to land a deal with TNA at this time, as the new reports state that he was asking for a little bit too much money.
Well, you know, I think I had said on this program that I saw value with Jake in creative and helping. You know, he's got a good fertile mind for the business. But I just, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but I, at this point in time, I just don't see Jake on camera in any way, shape, or form either.
Yeah, Jake would, he would make an excellent creative team member or a road agent or something at this point. He really does. He really has a great mind, and he could really teach those young guys how to cut a promo.
Yeah, of course they need to find, they're inventing a job or finding another job for Scotty D'Amore too, I guess, due to the fact he's no longer in creative.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course, the TNA is going to continue, on the set. I'm interested to see what happens with the Russo Cornette dynamic. Jimmy did an interview in Birmingham on, he was down there on Friday and said that he didn't believe that the two of them would be under the same roof any too long.
I know, good Lord, they're going to have to put a line in the center of the building. And,
well, you know, again, I don't know that I might be a little bit more of a fighter than Jimmy in terms of, you know, physical preparation, but I'm not interested in fighting. I don't like a lot of the things Russo did, and I'd be the first to say that I didn't like the whole takeoff on JR because Jim is a personal friend, and he's a class guy. And it's like me making fun of a polio victim, or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or someone with, you know, an amputee or something like that. I don't think it's funny. I don't see the value, you know. So,
let's one more piece of news that we have to get to. Jim Cornette, speaking of, he's still lobbying to bring in Matt Morgan to TNA.
Well, you know, Morgan, Morgan was the very last week-long invitational that Dr. Tom and Kevin Kelly and I did here in Cincinnati at my facility for WWE. Matt was in the mix there. And he was a good athlete. Of course, he was green as grass then. We worked with him in Oklahoma last October. And my God, the guy's a good promo, and he's a good looking athlete. And only time is going to, he's going to be able to learn over time. He can't learn unless he works. So I would say, you know, I see some value in the guy. I really do. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a matter, I guess, coming to terms and money and one thing and another. They've got a good crew, man. I mean, that's the thing that bothers me. TNA is capable of putting on Ring of Honor-like matches, which I think, and doing it for tens of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they've gone the other direction, and I just, it's distressing. It really is.
I guess some people seem to feel in TNA that it's not the right time. They've got a lot right now going on at the top.
What is the right time?
The right time, I think, would be...
I think the right time was 4 years ago. I mean, when I say that, well, I mean, you know...
Maybe after they let Sting go.
Well, you know, just, I mean, the product, I say, the longer you wait to get somebody over, the less apt you are to get them over. Here's the problem, Doc. When you bring in a fresh, I mean, when I say fresh, and most of these guys aren't fresh, they've been there for quite a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the longer they stay in waller in mediocrity, the less apt you are to get them over,
right,
regardless of their physical talent levels.
Yeah,
you know, it's an image thing. Perception is reality in a lot of, you know, if you and I are involved in angles with all the top guys, even if we lose, we're considered top guys. You know,
my guess, and I mean, my guess doesn't mean anything, but my guess is that I think they kind of want the memory of Morgan's gimmick in WWE to go away and then bring him in.
Well, but they haven't been bashful about signing guys who have left or been fired from WWE in a heartbeat, though.
That's true.
So I mean, and in varying situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 3D, Runt, yeah. I'll spit it out here in a minute. Rhino, Christian, Angle.
Yeah.
You know, the James Gang.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, not that they're hold those guys in low esteem or.
But those guys didn't have characters that made a fool out of them like they did to Matt Morgan. That was just all kinds of wrong, man, if you ask me. But.
Well, that was. I mean, that was. You know, it was it's kind of like the Eugene character that they're dragging on and on. Nick Densmore is a good mechanical hand. I mean, he and Rob Conway I've worked with for, you know, off and on for years. They're two of Danny's first students in OVW, And the Bashams, there's four good hands.
Yeah.
They're the guys working as Heyman's security.
Yeah. Security, yes.
And to me, I'm thinking, why are they working? I mean, here's two guys. You want to work a program with DX. If those guys were built properly, you got it, brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could do well.
Yeah.
They really could.
The thing about Eugene, Nick Dinsmore, is since he's gotten a WWE, I mean, I know you've seen him in OVW, and you've seen him a lot before he got to WWE. Have they even used more than 10% of what that guy can do in the ring?
No.
Never.
No.
Never.
I mean, the fact, you know what? I couldn't go out and do, Al Snow does the same thing, go out and do 50 guys' finishes. I couldn't do that.
Right.
I mean, that's a talent I don't have, you know. Because I've just never tried to, you know, tried to learn everybody else's stuff, or tried to mimic any. I mean, they're both good mimics. That's a talent in itself. But
yeah.
Nick is a good solid hand, a very good solid hand, and I've always used him as such. When I got when I borrowed him from OVW. So I mean, there again, I'm not saying he should be headlining the next WrestleMania.
Right.
You know, but he's got more value than they're using for the company.
Absolutely. And you know, we said it when Eugene first appeared on the on our program, we said it.
We did.
We said that.
What did we say?
We said that Eugene was sort of like we said earlier, a one-trick pony sort of character, and
yeah.
Once it fades out, they're not going to know what to do with him, and they're
well, you know, right, it's like Boogeyman or what did they? I'm trying to think of something else along similar lines, but yeah, it's dated. You know, I mean, it's only a what did they do with the 70s man in
Mike Awesome?
Yeah, that was.
That 70s guy.
Yeah, that 70s guy.
The Fat Chick Thriller.
Which was nothing happening gimmick.
Which was the nail in his coffin, I think. But
yeah, well, yeah, Mike was never had a strong work ethic anyway.
No.
I mean, when I say that, nice enough guy, but he breezed through and such is life. I mean, when they let him go, I won't say that I don't like seeing anybody lose their workplace, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. A lot of guys are asking in the chat room right now what you think about a possible DX versus NWO angle.
I don't see it happening. I mean, the old saying in this business, you never say never, and I guess you don't. But I just don't see it. I think their attempt at putting the NWO back together a couple years ago when the merger, when they bought out WCW, was such a failed attempt that I don't think that they would go in that direction again.
I hope not. But, yeah, a lot of people are speculating that Eric Bischoff coming back last night was a first appearance of possible NWO reunion.
Well, again, stranger things have happened. But I personally don't see it. I really don't.
That's true. Professor VNS asks if you think I should smoke on the air. Do you think that's right, Les?
That you should smoke on the air? Well, Professor, I can't see if he's smoking or not. So
that's right. I can only be
offended if. You know what? I'm not offended by people smoking. One way or the other. It's don't get me wrong. I don't. If you want to smoke in my home, you're welcome to. I'm not like some non-smokers who are, fanatics about trying to, you want to smoke, it's up to you.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't want you sitting blowing in my face directly, but but if you want to smoke in my home, I'm not adverse to it. So.
Cool, I'm coming over.
Okay.
But anyway.
Are you smoking on the air, by the way?
I always smoke.
I'm hanging up. Goodbye.
Only VNS notices this. He's like, quit smoking, Doc.
Well, what I want to know how he can see what you're doing and I can't.
He says he can hear me smoking.
He can hear you.
It's my.
Here's your lungs wheezing. Wee.
It's my studio. I can smoke if I want to.
Okay, then there's an old song from my era. It's my party. I can cry if I want to.
That's right. Same thing. But now that Angle is in TNA, they want to know if we can expect Kurt Angle on this show, Wrestling Weekly.
I don't know if we can or not. I'd be tickled to death to have it.
That'd be great.
You know what? I that guy is a hell of an athlete. I mean, he is. I have nothing but admiration for him. I have had admiration from the very get-go. He picked up this is not an easy business to learn, and he picked it up very quickly.
Right.
You know, he certainly has my admiration and respect.
Now, as far as having Kurt Angle on the show, first off, I got to tell everybody that he's under 90-day no-compete clause. Can't do any interviews. It's not going to happen, at least until he begins with TNA. Once he does, we're going to be in a long line of people who want to get him on the show.
And there'll be, you know, that's political too, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. So it just depends on which way the wind blows.
Yes, we will try, of course, to get Angle, just like we try to get great guests every week. So just like we got Steve Corino, we had to go through a lot to get Steve Corino, my friend.
We did?
Yes.
Okay.
We
actually didn't because I forced Doc to get out of bed and actually run the guests down occasionally, which upsets him. He gets pretty miffed at me at times. What do you mean I have to get guests? I'm the producer. Well, that's the whole idea, Doc. Yes, you are the producer, and that's why you get the guests. Oh.
Don't ruin the mystique of the show now, Les, about how we book people. Don't tell the truth,
I
man.
I start saying, Doc, it's time to start booking. Well, you know, I want to sleep, and I don't want to do that.
Many an afternoon has Les woke me up with a phone call.
Who have we got? Well, I got to get off your ass and get moving. Believe me, listeners and people in the chat room, he's not an easy, he's a prima donna, and he's not an easy man to work with. You might think it's the other way around, but it's not.
It's just an act on the air.
It's not.
I'm not going to get into that. Anyway.
Yes, you are.
For the chat room.
At some point you will, I know.
For the chat room, I'm smoking cigarettes, guys. Stop with the jokes in there. But anyway, Cooler wants to know.
What are they accusing you of smoking something else?
Yeah, they're talking about me smoking bowls and all
that. Passing the bong around,
yeah.
I know. Well, if he is and he's not sharing, then I'm upset too.
Doc just says no, but they want to know what do you think about
what I think about living.
Oh,
what I think about life,
question.
Huh? What?
Oh, what do you think of the 3-hour special that Raw's going to run?
You know what? I just picked up on that. Read a little bit about it today, and I don't know. You know. I guess it's all right. I guess the crossover of the brands like they did last night, I guess that, you know, they're seeing a need for that currently. I don't know. I think, I don't know.
Well, they definitely seem to have their own audiences.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think a crossover show is a good idea, especially since they're going to be competing with the UFC special that night.
Well, I think when I heard they were having a strip poker game, I kind of regurgitated and said, oh, my God.
I wonder if Texas Hold'em.
There's brilliance at its best.
I wonder if it's strip 5-card draw or Texas
Hold'em.
Well,
you know, here's my problem with that. It's not 1996 anymore. Somebody needs to wake up. The Attitude Era is over. The shock value of that stuff is. And I don't know. I'm not a self-respecting 12-year-old. But I would think that any self-respecting, highly testosterone-laden 12-year-old that has watched professional wrestling for the past year with any regularity figures his chance to win the state lottery a lot better than him seeing bare skin
right. In
primetime network television. And
exactly.
If not, then he needs a psych evaluation somewhere.
Exactly.
It's, I mean, honestly, that you know, I think the logic of that is very flawed. I don't understand.
And hopefully it won't take up too much time on the show.
Well, you know what? It won't take up too much of my time.
Definitely.
Because I have a thing called a remote.
Yeah, I'm switching to UFC at the time.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. There are some, and I'm not trying to tell anybody not to watch wrestling. I mean, that's my livelihood too. But there's some good television on this season. There really are.
Hmm.
Yes, Law and Order, the Vanished, the Unit, Studio 60 on Sunset Strip.
What about that other one,
What are you talking about?
There's another one that's sort of like Studio 60, It's called Rockefeller Place or something.
Oh,
like that.
Studio some 30 Rock or something.
Rock.
I don't know.
I haven't
seen that one.
It's supposed to be really similar, and I guess run by a couple SNL guys. So I don't know, but everybody says that
S&M or SNL.
SNL.
Okay.
But everybody says that the other show is going to be better. So
yeah,
I
don't know. I you know, the wife decided we have DVRs on two TVs, so we float back and forth to the watch space. But she you know, I forget what it was. She taped Sunset Strip, and so I decided to watch the premiere, not figuring to get hooked, but I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know,
that's how I was with My Name Is Joe.
My Name Is Joe.
Or not Joe. My Name Is Earl. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that, and it didn't. It was all right, but it wasn't anything that I was gonna die with if I didn't get to see.
When you actually live in a rural area, you'll get like so much better.
Well, no, and you got to realize I wrestled in the Southeast for a lot of years too.
True.
So
true.
I spent time in Mississippi and Louisiana and places like that. So yeah, I do totally understand the whole thing, but no, I just it was okay. I'm more into drama at this point in my life. Don't get me wrong. I'm in terms of comics, Whoopi Goldberg, Billy Crystal, Robin Williams are some of the people that that I'm really high on in terms of humor. Anyway,
yeah, let's get to of course the pay-per-view prediction game from last week.
Okay, let's get there.
Let's find out who won.
Yes.
Pull out the paper here. I see, lately, I used to actually look at it and see who won beforehand.
Doc is whipping it out right here on the air.
But now I just leave it until the show.
Okay.
So, we went with the Naturals in the... what do you call
the
it?
Gauntlet, I don't know, the 8 million man tag.
I
wish somebody had multi person and team matches. They just don't get enough of those. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Did we get any points for that one?
We won, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, well, I guess we get a point each then.
So we get a point for that. Of course, it was Rhino versus Christian Cage. Les Ewan went with Christian, and I decided to be evil and go with Rhino, and you ended up getting the point for that.
Okay.
Senshi versus Saban.
And the blow-up doll.
And the blow-up doll, and the laxatives.
No, that was Petey Williams.
Oh, yeah, that was Petey Williams.
Yeah.
And you went with, we both went with Senshi on that one.
Okay.
He did end up winning that.
Yeah.
And then there was LAX versus AJ Styles with Christopher Daniels, of course.
They double crossed us there.
Yes, they did.
Or at least me. Did you pick with me on that one?
We had both went with LAX on that one.
See, that'll teach you to follow my coattails.
That's right. But we were not fooled by the main event. It was Samoa Joe defeating Jeff Jarrett in that non-title match, in which he ended up stealing the belt anyway. We're not going to get into that again. But,
no, I don't want to get into that. That's a weak angle. It was weak 40 years ago, and it's weaker today.
But you know what, Les? You know what that means?
What does that mean?
I lost.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Les,
ladies and gentlemen.
Les wins the pay-for-you prediction game. See, I can't even say it now.
This means, Doc, don't contemplate suicide or anything like that.
You have not won since, like, April.
Of what year?
Yeah, we only started doing this year, but yeah,
well, that's scary because that means that they may be trying to pursue some sort of logic, which is almost frightening.
Yeah,
within itself. But well, good. You know, since I don't win anything, I don't know. Listen, I can't tell you more than this. But I have been talking to a guy, and this is all in the works. But there is a company planning on putting a television network up on the internet, right?
Uh-huh.
Similar to, I don't know what they're up there now, Adrenaline Nation or something like that, that are basically similar television networks that are on internet. Anyway. They are big. They are planning on doing quite a bit with wrestling, some pay-per-view stuff like roundtable discussions with, say, some of the four or five of the manager legends from our era, you know, and matches. Like they're talking about like doing a weekend, right?
Yeah.
Of having current matches, maybe one or two legends matches, and then interview segments and promoting this at a hotel casino. And when I say that, obviously you're probably thinking Las Vegas, but it's not. Again, I'm not mentioning any places because none of it's tied down for sure.
Right.
But it sounds pretty interesting. How I got, I mean, they approached me. I will probably be involved in the production in some capacity as on air, possibly doing interview segments or...
Very cool.
Yeah, or, you know, and assistant producer or, you know, in production of some sort, too. So.
Yeah, and if you actually do get on the air, it's a great platform to, you know, to plug WrestlingWeekly.com.
It is. Well, you want to buy a sponsor?
Les went to Cauliflower Alley last year, and I kept bugging him. I was like, hey, during your speech, are you going to mention WrestlingWeekly.com or not?
I want to thank Doc Young for my career.
Yes. I want to thank God, my parents, and Doc Young, baby.
Yes. The hell with my wife and the rest of the family that stood by me. I just want to thank Doc Young. And don't forget, you can listen to Doc's glib patter every Tuesday night, 8 to 10, live at WrestlingWeekly.com.
Yes.
Yes.
We are going to take a break, guys. Heel is mentioning, though, that he saw the Brian Pillman DVD. So, Heel, when you hear this, when the feed rolls around, tell us if Les was in it. Because
Les was in it. Les has seen it, too. Yeah, but not briefly.
Briefly?
Well, you know, we did the fun. You know what? And it doesn't bother me, but I'm curious. I would be curious as to why. We did a whole lot on the Pillman. You know, we did 4 Pillman shows.
Right.
And raised over $120,000for the Brian Pillman Memorial Fund, and it was the only time during the wars that you could see the three major promotions all under one roof at the same time, and we were always proud of it. Anyway, we did a lot of talk about that, and none of it made. And then on the extras. Bill Cunningham, who's on one of the Clear Channel stations, radio stations here, does a political, you know, talk show sort of thing, who's a friend of Brian's. And on the extra, they gave Bill some time to talk about his on-air tribute to Brian. And I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What a rip. This is just because you don't work for them. That's why they didn't give you no
time. Well, I don't know. You know,
like, oh,
but I got a little FaceTime for whatever it is, you know.
Sweet, I'm going to get
no proposals from good-looking young ladies or no multi-million dollar offers to do TV, primetime TV series. So, I don't know, whatever.
Who better wants to know if we have met in person yet? No, we haven't, but we
no,
are planning.
Whoever, I'm trying to prevent that. It frightens me. No, in truth, if I'm able to work it out, I'm going to try to venture to Dots. Big promotion in Vincennes, Indiana, on October the 7th.
Yes.
I will ride down with my neighbor Rosie, and who is on the card. Now, am I getting enough plugs in here, Doc?
That's great. You're doing. You're
send
doing
me
fine.
Money. Send me money. Anyway, that's the deal. So, and then we may meet, and I may regret it, but yes.
And we'll have it all on tape for you guys.
And don't forget to buy Doc's DVDs. Yeah,
DVDs
on how to promote wrestling.
No, it's not how to promote wrestling. It's a documentary of what happened that day.
which may be funnier than anything we've done on this show.
It may be. You never know. Wait, I don't want to think that I think I know how to promote shows. I have a lot of help with this, you know. It's just something I want to do locally, you know, to have an event. There hasn't been an event here in a long time.
He's trying to get dates is what it is. He's some girl he's trying to impress.
Well, not just one particular girl.
Not just one girl. Actually, it's any woman that will bite, actually, is who he's trying to impress. Anyone that'll jump on the bandwagon.
Well, it's better than shooting Reagan to impress girls. That's all I got to say.
Better than what?
It's better than shooting Reagan to impress chicks.
Oh, okay.
Like a certain guy did. But No, we're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, the king of old school, Steve Corino, is going to join us. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Don't go anywhere. Our featured guest is coming up.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nadelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Welcome back, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest. Of course, everybody knows and loves him as the king of old school. Steve Corino is on the program. Steve, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Hey, and you know what? We'll get into that old school thing after a while because I was on a rant earlier about blow-up dolls and stuff that... Did you see the TNA pay-per-view Sunday night?
No. I never pay for it. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, the king of old school couldn't possibly condone some of this gaga.
No. As soon as I found out that, I don't even know if it was true, but as soon as I read that Vince Russo might be involved, I said, well, I'm not ordering this one.
Yeah.
I heard that. Well, see, that's my stat. I said, if a guy would buy his track record, then I'm obviously negative on him already, but I guess since he's found God, you got to give him a run and see if he's going to be the same way.
I don't know. I truly want to, but
Stevenson.
Man, I can see those devil horns just pointing through.
they're breaking the halo off. But
you know something. I went on our good friend Brad Dykens, obsessed with wrestling, to look at your profile. The thing that I didn't know is that you're originally from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yes. I was born there and lived there until I was about five. I actually lived, I think, four blocks from Chris Jericho.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Yeah, I had no idea.
Did you actually know him, or?
No.
He was quite a bit younger, of course.
Yeah. What is Jericho younger? I think he's older than me.
Is he older than you?
I think. What is Jericho? 35.
I thought he was 31.
Oh, is he?
I have no idea.
And I
now.
Am. Yeah, then you're right. It would just drop my head. Yeah.
Well, Steve is so upset at this whole Vince Russo thing that he's actually leaving the country in a couple days.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
He can't poison the Japanese wrestling.
Tom Brandy started you in the business, huh?
Yes, sir. I actually just saw Tom. King Kalu and Tom Brandy started me. So, I'm a student of old Sal Sincere.
All right. Were you a fan from a young age, or?
Oh, huge fan. I was. We got cable TV in Philadelphia when I was about 8 years old, and I'm a huge baseball fan. So my dad told me, oh, there's huge, lots of baseball games. You know, they had the Braves, the Cubs, the Phillies, and just by accident, I hit WTBS, and there was Tommy Rich and Gordon Solie. And I went, I was stuck to the TV. And from that moment on, I was, a wrestling fan. I knew it from that moment that, wow, this is what I want to do. And, it was great. Georgia Championship Wrestling. And
what year was that, do you remember?
81. So
okay.
he was just doing the interviews after losing the NWA World title.
Okay.
So, I was a fan from the beginning. And I went to the local supermarket, and I saw that there were magazines, and from that moment on, I was hooked, and eventually we got Southwest Championship Wrestling in Philadelphia, and then on the USA Network back when it was just first starting, and I watched every wrestling, I would read all the magazines, I would know the date they were coming out, and I would have my allowance ready for the what magazines were coming out, and I was a huge wrestling fan.
Great. Yeah, I ran the tours for Georgia Championship Wrestling in 82 and part of 83, and that was a great time. I mean,
amazing time. I don't know whether if it was just because I was such a young kid or stuff like that. But even today, when I catch a tape and it's even it's not even like a great quality tape, I just go back in time and I go, wow, this is what wrestling was and should be right now. I still get excited when I watch a Michael Hayes promo on Terry Gordy and the Freebirds that broke up. And I've been wrestling 12 years now, and I've been a fan for 25, and I'm that kid that wants to buy a ticket for the Omni. It was so easy back then that they sold tickets on emotion and not gimmicks or girls coming out, and they sold it on emotion and great wrestling, and I love it.
Yeah, we get into that here occasionally. The art of the work is honestly being lost to all the goofy comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah, and back then guys looked different. Now everybody looks the same. It's the cookie cutter body, and it's hard to pick one guy out from another. Back then you had Gordy and Roberts and Tommy Rich and Mr. Wrestling 2 and the mass superstar. I thought Georgia Championship Wrestling was the greatest wrestling. And that time from 81 to 84 was, it's such a golden era for Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I bet I got something that you would love to have. During that time, Son of a Plumber gave me it's a red satin tour jacket. It says on the back, Dusty Rhodes World Tour 82-83 with gray cuffs and collar on it.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. Doc wants it, too.
That's an that's an eBay item.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure there's not a lot of those suckers out there.
No.
But that those tours, they were tremendous. I mean, we drew in places that I was telling a story just the other day. I booked. We had a book from TBS that would tell you in the areas, you know, what the cable saturation was. And so anyway, I had set up a deal with Lima, Ohio, Al Snow's hometown, the high school, to run a show. And so I was down at the office, and Mr. Barnett came in and said, "Lastly, you're running Lima, Ohio." And I said, "Yes, Jim." "Oh, my God. Do you realize it's one of the two most financially depressed or economically depressed cities in the country?" I said, "No, Jim, I don't read the Wall Street Journal. I just read the TBS manual that tells me, you know, we're in X number of, you know, thousands of homes in that area." And I'm thinking, "Oh, my God, man, I've screwed up here." I said, "Do you want me to cancel the town?" "No, no, we've already done it. We don't want to ruin our reputation. We'll just take the loss." So I'm thinking, "Oh, man, I've backed myself into a corner." We turned away over almost 700 people.
Oh, geez.
Oh, wow.
And so there was no financial loss.
Did you let Al in?
No, he probably was there. I don't even know.
Oh, I'm sure he was there, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably one of the 700 got turned away.
But yeah, I mean, in small, the first week I ran a tour, we went, I can't even remember the name of the town. Or ran it on my own. Jerry Briscoe had been running the tours, and I made one tour with him. He'd just kind of show me the ropes. And then the second tour on my own, I drive into this little town in West Virginia that I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, this is a rip. They've sent me here just to see if I would show up, and nobody else is going to be here. And we had, like, 1,500 people come out. I mean, they just come out of the mountains, right? And, I mean, we turned away people in so many places. It was just amazing what that TBS television did.
Oh, yeah.
I remember asking my mom at least once a month, "Hey, Mom, can we go to the Omni?" Now, granted, we lived in Philadelphia, you know. My mom would have to tell, you know, "Steven, it's a 14-hour ride, you know. There's no way we're making it there." But, yeah, I always wanted, if I lived in Georgia, I would have ran my family poor with all the things I would have bought.
So you joined ECW in 98 as a manager.
Well, actually, I started as a wrestler. I was doing like the opening match for the first 3 months, and I guess it was Paul that thought about putting me into the program with Taz, and it was pretty much TV, you know, just, you know, egging him on and not getting into the ring with him and stuff like that. And then I would work Dreamer on the house show.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was all sort of some plan that Paul had that, you know, I was going to do something with Taz that eventually had a pay-per-view and blah, blah, blah. You know, it didn't finish. But then in 99, Taz put in his notice and Raven came back at the same time. And all of a sudden, both my programs were gone.
Yeah.
So Paul sat me down. He's like, "Look," he goes, "I really don't have anything for you right now." And luckily, I had already signed a contract. But he goes, "How about this?" He goes, "I want to teach Rhino how to talk." He goes, and, you know, Tajiri the heel. He goes, "Why don't you be the talker for these guys?" And, you know, while I teach Rhino, because, you know, he loved Rhino from, you know, the first moment. And, yeah, that's what I did for 6 months was, you know, talk on TV and irritate things. And then once Dusty came in, Paul's like, "All right, you're back in the ring. You know, this is your guy. This is the guy that's going to make you." And, you know, he was 100% right.
Yeah, pretty much did. How'd you enjoy that feud with Dusty? And was that his idea?
You know, a little funny story. When the first night was in Atlanta, and Dusty had just got released from WCW, and he came as a spectator. And, you know, I used to call Dreamer the Dream. It just as a joke, I'd be like, "Hey, Dream, what are we doing?" Blah, blah, blah. So I see him, and he's starting to give guys his instructions, and Paul is giving guys instructions, and Dreamer looks at me and goes, "Hey, you're working with the Dream." And it's not like Tommy Dreamer not to talk about himself in the third person.
Yeah.
So I go, "Okay, what are we doing tonight?" And he goes, "No, man, you're working with the real Dream." And, like, right there, my heart sunk. And Bill Alfonso's like, "Yo, Daddy, you ready for this?" And I didn't know what to say. I'm like, "Wow, here's a childhood hero. And, he, you know, he's going to do an angle with me." And I just walked up to him. I said, sir, you know, is there anything off limits or is there anything, you know, you don't want me to talk about or talk about? And he looked at me and he goes, kid, if you're as good as they say you are, then we don't need to talk about anything. And I went, wow. He just stabbed me with a pressure knife right there.
Wow.
But it was great. You know, and Dreamer takes me in the room. And at the time, I guess, he was still having the problems with Dustin. Dreamer takes me in the room and goes, don't you dare say anything about Dustin. I said, no, no, Dreamer, I'm not going to say anything. And it was only supposed to be like one night. And, you know, it was so hot that Paul said, look, we're going to keep bringing him in. He's like, this is your guy. This is going to be the guy that gets you over as, you know, a true old school. You know, I was saying I was the king of old school, Mr. Old School. But at the time, like, no one, you know, when you're feuding with Dreamer and Taz, you know, people would go, eh, all right, he's just a loudmouth kid. You know, when you have a true old school legend in there, like Dusty Rhodes, right there, you know, it gave legitimacy to the gimmick and, you know, it made my career.
Excellent. Yeah.
you had the opportunity to work with Candido, too, right?
Oh, yeah. I loved working with Chris. Yeah.
Oh, he's so good.
Now, there was an – I used to tease him when Smokey – I said, you know, you've got a young kid's body, but you got an old-school mind. And
didn't he? He was amazing. You know, even at his worst times, he could have the greatest match.
Yeah.
It was just – I don't know if I've ever seen somebody so, like, gifted naturally about – a wrestling match than Chris Candido.
Yeah, yeah. He loved what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and he was never. I mean, he just wanted to be the best he could be. I mean, that was his attitude. Yeah, just a great guy. He really was.
Oh, I loved him. He was awesome.
Heel 2006 in the chat room. He wants to know what's your opinion on Kurt Angle going to TNA.
You know what's funny? I didn't hear about it until today.
Really?
I didn't know. I think, you know, it's good for business for TNA and, like, pro wrestling because all of a sudden you're going to get interested because the normal fan knows who Kurt Angle is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, wow, you know, I got to turn in on Thursday and watch TNA and, oh, maybe I should tune in on Monday or Friday and see if WWE shoots back. You know, I think it's one of the things that, you know, it could spark the business for a little bit. And, you know, I think that's what we need. And, you know, a legitimate star like Kurt Angle going to TNA is only going to help them. And, you know, I look at it as like a business way. Kurt is such a great athlete and such a great wrestler. But what more could he do in WWE? Yeah, he's held all the belts. He's feuded with all the guys. He's been a heel five times. He's been a babyface five times. He's drawn the great, you know, the great houses and stuff like that. But what more could you do with him?
Yeah, I'm sure the only other thing that he would want is to hold the world title again. But, I mean, he's done that, been there.
Right, and I think, you know, Vince letting him go, and he goes to TNA, and then, you know, he's going to be hot in TNA for a couple of years, and then, you know, at the end of his contract, you know, he could probably go back to Vince, or he could stay at TNA, and, you know, all of a sudden the business is starting to, you know, rejuvenate a little bit, and
yeah.
I think it's a great thing for both of them. I think it's not going to hurt Vince. He was already gone. And I think it's great for Jarrett because, you know, he gets that – it looks to the normal fan like he just stole him from Vince. So I think it's good for everybody.
Machiavelli Hitman says, your thoughts on the Teddy Hart feud?
You know, I try to like Teddy. I swear to God I try to like Teddy.
But it's hard.
It is because he is – I just don't think he lives on our planet.
And his own family to like Teddy.
Oh, I know. And, you know, I've had him over to the UK for 1PW a couple times, and he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he hasn't been an idiot or anything like that. But, you know, we get to the Pro Wrestling Explosion show, and he's just an idiot. And it's a shame because he's so talented when he... I don't know whether it's he's talented when he's working with somebody at his own level or he's working a certain style, but, man, did I have a hard time working with him. And, you know, I try and tell him, I'm like, Teddy, you know, it's got to be give and take, and, you know, you got to relax a little bit, and I'm not going to kill you in there, but, man, I wanted to kill him in there.
Yeah, you know, Steve, watching him, I think he's the epitome of the current phrasing in the business, you got to get your stuff in.
Yeah, and it's true because, you know, I'm willing to give and take, and, you know, I'm not going to high fly, but I'll definitely catch and make sure he's safe and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he he also has to realize that, you know, a babyface's job is to sell, and, you know, heel's job is to get the heat on, and if you don't have any sympathy, they're not going to be with him to come back. And, man, you know, I had a fork in his head like they asked me to, and he's fighting. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, I'm going to stab this kid in the eye. Yeah. And after a while, I thought, maybe I should stab him in the eye.
He didn't want to sell, or?
I don't know what he's thinking, because, you know, apparently on Teddy Hart's planet, you know, things are different. I mean, it's a different psychology there.
Yeah.
Or no psychology.
Yeah, exactly. They want to know if, you know, the obligatory question, would you like to work in at WWE or TNA or maybe ECW?
You know, I get that question all the time. I would like to work behind the scenes.
Really?
Yeah, I definitely think I have something to give, whether it's, you know, putting over the young talent or, you know, I'm 33 and I've done everything that I've ever wanted to do in wrestling. And, you know, I always consider myself like the most blessed wrestler ever. You know, I've had doors opened for me for, you know, the last 12 years. And I can't imagine, you know, I look back and go, wow, when I started in 94 and what I've accomplished now, I've wrestled all my heroes and, you know, and the mark in me has held all the belts that I've always wanted to hold. You know, I would love to be on the other side, whether it's booking and or being an agent or commentary or something like that. You know, if it was on the other side of the track, I'd definitely be interested. But if I, you know, if that opportunity is not there, I would prefer to stick with what I do now, you know, with the 20 to 24 weeks in Japan a year and, you know, working the indies, going to Europe. And, you know, people ask me, oh, do you like being a big fish in a small pond? Well, yeah, because, you know, the mortgage company doesn't care that there was 200 people at the show, but I care that, you know, the 200 people went home happy. And,
right.
You know, and if I can go out and entertain people, whether it's 200 or 50 or 5,000, stuff like that, that's all that matters to me. And, you know, I would love to stay at this level, but if, you know, the opportunity came where, you know, it was a part of creative or commentary or something like that, I would definitely consider it.
Professor VNS says, did you have any desire to be a part of the Combat Zone Ring of Honor feud?
No. You know what? It was never even brought up to me.
Cooler says, what were your thoughts on the time you spent in Major League Wrestling? Was it anything like ECW?
You know, I liked it. I loved MLW because, you know, I love wrestling in Florida because fans there still have that old school feel to it. And I looked at MLW as like Florida Championship Wrestling and ECW combined. You know, we tried to combine the both. And, man, you know, to be in a feud with Terry Funk and Steve Dr. Doug Williams and Sandman and be with my buddy CW and Simon. And, you know, it was a great time. And I wish that, you know, Court could have weathered the storm because we were drawing great numbers. And, you know, it was just one of those things that he had a couple backers that, you know, didn't want to put the extra capital in to make it go a couple steps further. But, man, I had a blast. I had a blast there. And it's nothing but good memory for MLW.
You know, you're talking about working with Dust, but then you got a chance to work with Terry, too, which had to have been a pleasure.
Oh, it was. You know, I was so excited. The first time I got to wrestle Terry Funk was the actual three-way. It was Terry, Dusty, and me. And don't you know I came down with the flu that morning?
Oh, wow.
And if you watch the match, I'm in, like, bunkhouse gear because I have, like, Pepto-Bismol tablets in my jeans. And if you watch the DVD, it takes me, like, 2 minutes to get out to the ring because I was throwing up in the bathroom. So I got all this nervousness and, you know, I got the flu. And all I kept thinking was, oh, just let me get out of here without, you know, throwing up. So, you know, Terry always has that reputation for throwing that hard left. Oh, you never really know it until you're in the ring with him and he starts pummeling you. And at first you're like, wow, this is Terry Funk, hit me. And then all of a sudden you're taking fists to the eye, the ear, the nose. And then I start thinking, you know what, I better start fighting for my life in here or he's going to kill me. So I start beating him back, right? And I all of a sudden I hear, hey, kid, what are you doing? We get in the back and he goes, well, let me ask you something. Why would you hit me so hard? And I go, well, Terry, you were hitting me hard, too. He goes, well, I'm an old man. I go into it where Dusty's getting changed, and I'm like, man, I think Terry's really ticked off at me. He goes, why, kid? I go, he said I was hitting him too hard. He goes, but he was hitting me hard, too. He goes, did he use the old man excuse? I go, oh, he's been using that for 30 years. Don't even listen to him.
I'm an old man.
You guys think he's nuts now. I met him. The first time he had ever gone on the road, we became friends in 67 in Tampa when he first came out of the nest and left Texas, right? And
yeah.
He was out of his mind.
He's a great guy, too. I love hanging with him.
Yeah. He's not this past summer, but summer before, out in Vegas at Cauliflower Alley. Jack Briscoe and his wife and Terry and Dickie and my wife and I were out at Scott Casey's for a barbecue, and we just had the greatest time. He's like I say, we ran the roads together, you know, back in the '60s and stuff. And I say, well, Steve, you probably watched a lot of the old stuff, and some of these kids don't get to see it, and all they see is this bow-legged old man doing a moonsault.
Yeah,
and they're laughing, and they don't, and it bothers me to a certain degree. It probably, and I've said before, it probably bothers me more than it does Terry, that they have never seen the Terry Funk that I worked with, that was such a tremendous psychologist and everything.
Oh yeah, and you know, I'm a huge All Japan fan from like the early '80s. So a friend of mine makes me these classic DVDs, and I get to watch All Japan from '77 to '82, and. You know, Terry and Jumbo Shiruda, and they're going at it. And, you know, where kids today would probably think that's boring, to me, I could sit in front of the TV and watch that for hours and just be just, you know, so excited about what's going to happen. And I'm sure you've seen the Terry Dory match, you know, from Japan.
Yeah.
And, you know, for 54 minutes, I'm on the edge of my seat. And I knew what the finish was. But, you know, just how they could tell a story is just amazing. I think every young kid should watch that.
Yeah, I had a clip from Southeastern Wrestling in the 70s, and Terry was in to work with Ron Fuller, and I was had my director up shooting some tape for the show, and I probably still got around someplace. But anyway, Fuller had won with the Fuller leg lock, and Terry had submitted. And then Terry began working for Terry's own benefit, and what I mean by that was the neat thing, if you watch this tape, was that the matches were over, the referee had left the ring, the ushers were starting, you know, people starting to clean, and the fans were gathered around the ring, and Terry was staying in the ring selling.
Yeah.
And just seeing how long he'd hold the people. And they weren't going anyplace, and he was going through all these, all this theatrics of selling the leg, and I mean, but doing it was such a beautiful job that nobody was leaving until they were sure he got out, because they weren't sure he wasn't in real pain.
Yeah.
Exactly, and it's something that seems so simple, but it's something we're missing today. And
yeah.
You know, every time I say it to somebody, I know like a kid 10 years younger than me is probably rolling his eyes, thinking, you know, the business is past this guy, and it's all about. This, that, and the other thing. But, you know, I think we could draw money, again, by re-educating the people and showing, you know, the little things to wrestling fans.
Yeah, that's something that I talk to Doc about all the time is they're lazy. They take all the stupid shortcuts, and they're not willing to really learn the art of the work, for God's sakes.
Exactly. You know, I watch a four-minute match on WWE, and I sit there and I look and I go, wow. Last night, I didn't walk up until about 3.5 minutes in,
yeah.
You know, and we had the crowd.
Yes.
The taking of the time and the longer matches and really telling a story, it makes me...
Well, and that, you know, and the shame of it is with these kids, too, that get called up and they're there 15 minutes and somebody said, well, they didn't connect with the crowd and they're not ready. Well, no, they're not ready. You can't learn to work in this business in a 4 or 5 minute match.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You're 100% right.
We have a question in the chat room from Sexy Sir Alex Ferguson. That's his name. He says, who are the best students that you've trained?
Ricky Landell is definitely the best kid I've trained because he reminds me a lot of me. Not saying I'm the best, but he reminds me a lot of me with how hungry he was. You know, I've had I think, maybe 4 students total, and they've all done pretty good. You know, Otto Schwanz was under WWE contract for a few months,
mm-hmm.
And Otto Schwanz, he did the dumps in ECW and stuff like that. Big kid. Then there was Nice Dick Eddie Brown in North Carolina, who runs his own little promotion there. And then I had Ricky Landell and Alex Law, and Alex, you know, I think Alex was the more athletic of him and Ricky, but Ricky has the most hunger, and you know, Alex is now a cop, so he doesn't get the time off that he needs to, you know, get out there and wrestle and learn and stuff like that. But Ricky is one of those kids that he's a throwback. He doesn't care if the pay $30 and the ride 700 miles. He's in that car trying to get as much experience as possible, and I think, you know, that's something that, you know, other people should learn. And, you know, he's a college-educated kid. He could be teaching school now or doing this, but he figures, you know what? Yeah, I got the chance to be a wrestler, and I'm gonna pay my dues and do everything. And I took him to Japan about a year and a half ago, and he lived in the dojo and, you know, really learned, and he's become a really, really solid wrestler, man.
There's one more question from the chat room before we get out of here. Professor VNS wants to know what's Hustle Promotion in Japan all about. He wants you to explain it for the American fans who might not know.
Okay, let me figure out how I can explain this. Imagine WWE on speed.
Wow.
In a language that you can't understand. You know, I was on the booking committee of this company last year, and I would imagine putting your palms to your temples and squeeze. Because some of the ideas that come up, and it's fun, once you figure out that they're just going for the actual sports entertainment of it,
uh-huh.
you don't get as frustrated. But I remember sitting in these booking meetings going, what are we doing here? This guy's going to come out of an egg? And, yeah, everybody's got a character. And even though that the fans know that, you know, Toshiaki Kawada is, like, the baddest guy on the planet, you know, he's Monster K in Hustle, and, you know, they know Aja Kong and Amazing Kong, who are, you know, they'll
beasts.
Beat up. But, yeah, they're, you know, they're Erica and Margaret, and they know that, you know, I put on a mask and I'm Monster C, and it's just one of those things that they don't take it too seriously, the fans, mm-hmm. and they just have fun with it, and I never thought that it would draw, but it draws, and I guess it just gives them an entertainment value. Maybe it's consider the Rocky Horror Picture Show on crack or something.
That sounds cool.
That's Doc wants me to talk. Let's try to talk to me about Chikara. I said I've never seen it, and people that know me say you don't want to see it.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, and look, you know, the kids are nice and everything like that, but it's like Osaka Pro, but definitely.
Well, see, you're closer to being old school than most of the kids that I get a chance to talk to here, so you can understand. I mean. You realize this, I'm in my 47th year in the business and how I was started and how I was educated, that all this clown act, I just can't buy into it.
Yeah.
No.
We have to get going. I know you're heading out for 01 Max in a couple days. So.
Yep, I head out on Thursday morning.
So good luck out there, and come back to the States real soon. And, of course, check out Steve Corino's official website at stevecorino.com. Not only is it a great website, but it has awesome Steve Corino merchandise. I own some of it myself, and there's real good stuff on there. Check it out, stevecorino.com, guys.
Steve, real pleasure. Good luck. And hey, come back
much.
And do the show with us again. I've really enjoyed talking.
I would love to anytime. Thank you very much.
Have a good one. Steve Corino here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to wrap things up. We are up against the wall. ECW on Sci-Fi is coming up next for East Coast fans. Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Les will be back next week with another great guest. Keep checking the website, of course, to find out who that's going to be, www.wrestlingweekly.com. And Les, hopefully we'll have better news for the fans next week.
Let's hope that Russo doesn't ruin the business.
Absolutely. Good night, guys. We'll see you next week.
Good night, thanks.
Ain't no stopping me, no! Respect, throw me anything, I'll pass that test. Believing in yourself, man, changes everything. Yeah, I want it all, I'm taking the brass ring. Call me underdog, you can call me anything. I got a lot of blessings, that's what faith brings. You can't rob a man, no stop. You can't rob a man, no stop. You can't rob a man, good job. you'll see. I'ma just be all the best I can.